Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in His temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. David, being a shepherd boy and being exposed to hills and valleys and brooks, David was someone who loved and appreciated God's creation. And in his Psalms, we find David celebrating the power of Jehovah, the creator of the universe. And Jewish worshippers today use this psalm, Psalm 29, in the synagogues as part of their celebration of Pentecost. Now the term Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecost, meaning 50th. And it refers to the festival celebrated on the 50th day after the Passover. And it's also known as the Feast of Weeks. In Hebrew it is called Yishuvs. And it has a twofold significance. It marks the important wheat harvest in Israel. Exodus chapter 34 verse 22. You shall observe the Feast of Weeks, the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end. It also commemorates the anniversary of the day when God gave the Torah to the nation of Israel, when they were assembled at Mount Sinai. Now when we read Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, and we read of the sound of the wind, the tongues of fire and thunder of God's voice through His word, we can see how we as God's church today, we can also use this psalm, Psalm 29, and we can celebrate Pentecost. The pagan neighbors of Israel sadly believed that Baal, the storm god, controlled rain and fertility. But this psalm speaks to us clearly about the power of the living God who created the universe. And this psalm magnifies the sovereignty of God and the power of God in His creation, both of which bring glory to God. Now the word glory is used four times in this psalm, Psalm 29 verse 1. A psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Again in verse 2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Psalm 29 verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. Again in verse 9, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in His temple all cry glory. Now David saw God's glory revealed in the storm, which is mentioned in the psalm. He saw God's glory revealed in the storm in three different places. He saw God's glory in the temple in heaven, in verses 1 and 2. And then he saw God's glory in the tempest on earth, verses 3 to 9. And finally he saw God's glory on the throne in heaven, verses 10 to 11. We look up to verse 9. this time, and God willing, we will look into verse 10 and 11 next time. Number one, God's glory in the temple in heaven. Psalm 29 verse 1 and 2. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Heaven is a place of worship. The Apostle John while he was in exile in the island of Patmos, he gives us a glimpse of heaven. In the book of Revelation chapter 4 verses 8 to 11, John writes, Revelation chapter 4 verses 8 to 11, and the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne saying, Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created. Again, John speaks of heaven in Revelation chapter 5 verses 6 to 14. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. So heaven is a place of worship. And in Psalm 29 verse 1 and 2, the command is given to the angels, to the heavenly beings, the mighty ones, the sons of might. The command is given to them to ascribe worship to God, to attribute worship to God, to ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, because these divine attributes magnify God's name. Psalm 29 verse 1 and 2, a psalm of David, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The psalm actually begins and ends mentioning God's strength. Psalm 29 verse 1. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. And again in the last verse in Psalm 29 verse 11. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. When we worship the Lord strengthens us. In verses 4 to 9 in the psalm, we see the demonstration of God's strength in the description of the storm. Psalm 29 verses 4 to 9, the voice of the Lord is powerful and the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in His temple all cry glory. In the book of Job, we find angels being called the sons of God. Job chapter 1 verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Again in Job chapter 2 and verse 1, Job 2 and verse 1, again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The sons of God, or angels, are mentioned again. When God speaks to Job in Job 38, Job chapter 38 verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Heaven is a place of worship. Angels are told to worship the Lord. They ascribe worship. They attribute worship to God. Psalm 89 verse 6, the King James Version. Psalm 89 verse 6, for who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Sons of the mighty are actually angels. When the Jewish priests and Levites served in the tabernacle and in the temple, they had to dress correctly. They had a prescribed dress code. They couldn't just worship the Lord just coming into the tabernacle in their usual casual clothes. No, they had a prescribed dress code. Exodus 28 verses 1 to 4. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate and an ephod and a robe and a broidered coat, a mitre and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. When Jehoshaphat fought the Moabites and the Ammonites, he appointed worshippers in holy attire. Holy attire. They had holy garments that were set apart. And they wore those garments and they went before the army worshipping the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 21. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Even God's angels, the mighty ones, must come before him in proper attire. Psalm 29 verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That is the attire. The ESV says beauty of holiness. The New American Standard Bible says holy array. And the NIV says the splendor of holiness. True holiness is beautiful. There is worship in heaven. They who worship are set apart to praise and worship the true and the living God. And the Lord, as we worship the Lord, we are strengthened. And true holiness is beautiful. Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 96 verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Psalm 29 verse 2. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. So true holiness is a beautiful thing to behold. And certainly the greatest demonstration of this holiness, was in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ when he ministered on earth. He knew no sin. He did no sin, and there was no sin found in him. Sin is ugly, no matter what we may call it. But true holiness is beautiful, and true holiness brings glory to God. So true worship requires holiness. It requires consecration. True worship, therefore, involves consecration, a life that is set apart unto God, and our bodies given to Him as living sacrifices. As the children sang that song, that beautiful song in worship, two eyes and a heart and my life I give to you in worship. Romans 12 verse 1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Again in Romans chapter 6 verse 13, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. So if we desire to receive strength, which God is willing to give us, and don't forget, He indeed is a strong God, and we'll look into that a little later. If we desire to receive strength to live this life that God expects us to live on earth, we must become true worshipers who are set apart. Our lives are set apart unto God, consecrated to God. Lives that, yes, are made holy by the blood of Jesus and are being made holy day by day, set apart unto God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So David saw God's glory in the temple in heaven, and that is indeed a place of worship. And he also saw God's glory in the tempest, in the storm on earth. Psalm 29 verses 3 to 9. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. Now in these verses we see David tracing the path of the storm. This is an inspired description, a dramatic description of a thunderstorm that started somewhere over the Mediterranean Sea. The New Living Translation, the NLT, translates verse 3 like this. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. That's the Mediterranean Sea. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. That's what David saw. Psalm 29 verse 3. Then the storm moves eastward to the Lebanon mountain range. Psalm 29 verse 5. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Then the storm continues to move eastward overland to Mount Hermon. The New King James Version and ESV translate it as Syrian. Mount Hermon is translated as Syrian. Psalm 29 verse 6, he makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The reason it is called Syrian is actually given to us in Deuteronomy chapter 3 verses 8 to 9. So we took the land at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, from the valley of the Arnon to Mount Hermon. The Sidonians called Hermon Syrian, while the Amorites call it Senir. So that's why you find it is being translated as Syrian in the NKJV and in the ESV. Then the storm turned south and traveled about 200 miles down to Kadesh in the wilderness, and there it is dispersed. Psalm 29 verse 8, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness, the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Now this storm was accompanied by loud thunder, and that's going to be our focus. Psalm 29 verse 3. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. We read in Psalm 18 verses 13 and 14. Psalm 18 verses 13 and 14. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered His voice. Hailstone and coals of fire and he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Remember the seventh plague in Egypt. It was thunder and hail. Exodus 9 verse 23. Then Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. Again in Job chapter 37, Job 37 verses 1 to 5. At this also my heart trembles and leaps out of its place. Keep listening to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. Under the whole heaven he lets it go, and his lightning to the corners of the earth. After it his voice roars, he thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain the lightnings when his voice is heard. God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. Again in Job chapter 40 and verse 9. Have you an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like his? The storm was also accompanied with lightning. The storm was accompanied by lightning. Psalm 29 verse 7. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. We find the phrase "the voice of the Lord" 7 times in this psalm. In the book of Revelation chapter 10 verses 3 to 4. We read Revelation chapter 10 verse 3 to 4. And called out with a loud voice like a lion roaring. When he called out, the 7 thunders sounded. And when the 7 thunders had sounded, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up what the 7 thunders have said and do not write it down. In Psalm 29 verse 7, we read of the flashes, we read of lightning which accompanies the thunder. And we find the phrase, the voice of the Lord, 7 times in the psalm. And here in Revelation, we hear of the 7 thunders. It was God of glory thundering and revealing his majesty. Psalm 29 verse 3. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. He reveals his majesty with his voice of thunder. But remember, he's also the King of glory. Remember Psalm 24 verse 7. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. He is the God of glory. Psalm 29 verse 3, the God of glory thunders, and he is the King of glory. The Lebanon range was about 10,000 feet above sea level, and the Canaanites believed that it was the home of their gods. It was famous for its cedar forests. Psalm 72 verse 16. Psalm 72 verse 16. May there be abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon. And may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. When the Bible speaks about the wisdom of Solomon, it says in 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 33. He spoke of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish. But the thunder of God broke even those huge oaks of Lebanon. Those trees of Lebanon were broken by the thunder of God. In fact, the thunder made the trees and the mountains skip like a calf, it says. Psalm 29 verse 6. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. Psalm 114 verses 1 to 7. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, Jordan turned back, the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back? O mountains, that you skip like rams? O hills, like lambs? Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. In scripture, the cedar tree is sometimes a symbol of a nation or a kingdom, including David's dynasty. Ezekiel chapter 17 verses 1 to 3. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, propound a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel. Say, thus says the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings and long pinions, rich in plumage of many colors, came to Lebanon and took the top of the cedar. The cedar is also spoken about the kingdom of Assyria. Ezekiel chapter 31 verse 3. Behold, Assyria was a cedar in Lebanon with beautiful branches and forest shade and of towering height, its top among the clouds. The cedar is also a symbol of the nation of Israel. Numbers 24 verses 5 to 6. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel, like palm groves that stretch afar, like gardens beside a river, like aloes that the Lord has planted, like cedar trees beside the waters. Isaiah the prophet saw the fall of these proud cedars as a picture of the defeat of the nations in the day of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 10 to 17. In the day of the Lord, Isaiah is seeing all these nations just falling, crumbling. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 10 to 17. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from before the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The haughty looks of man shall be brought low, and the lofty pride of men shall be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Against all the cedars of Lebanon, lofty and lifted up, and against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, and against all the uplifted hills, against every high tower, and against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish, and against all the beautiful craft, and the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. You know, this earth is going to be judged by fire, will be destroyed by fire. There's an old Negro spiritual which goes this way. It won't be rain but fire next time. The Lord is going to judge this earth by fire. If you read the book of Isaiah, I think it's in Isaiah chapter 24, where judgment falls upon this earth. The whole of that chapter you find how judgment falls upon the earth. Back in Psalm 29, we notice that it was the thunder, the voice of God that broke the trees, not the wind or the lightning. The voice of God is so powerful and can shake the wilderness like an earthquake. Psalm 29 verse 8, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The animals are frightened. The thunder, the voice of God caused the deer to give birth. Imagine being born in a thunderstorm. Psalm 29 verse 9, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare and in his temple all cry glory. During this demonstration of God's great power, the angels were watching in amazement and they're shouting, glory. When Jesus, the Son of God, served here on earth, the angels were watching and they were learning about God's grace. They were learning about God's wisdom and God's power. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. During the creation week, the angels were learning. Job 38 verse 7 says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That's a description of the creation week in Job 38. And we are told that the angels were watching and learning how God created this universe. The angels are learning as God works out his purposes through the church on earth today. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. Ephesians 3 verse 10 is a very important verse. Ephesians 3 verse 10. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be The manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. You see, there are good angels and there are bad angels. The demonic spirits, those are the bad angels under Satan. The good angels, they are learning about the wisdom of God being manifested through the work of God in his church on earth. And they rejoice when souls are saved and people are being drawn out of darkness into God's kingdom, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. They delight to see what is happening. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So angels are seeing God's wisdom being manifested on earth through the church, and they are learning about this great wonderful plan of God being worked out on earth through his church. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Luke chapter 15 verses 4 to 7. Jesus says, Luke 15 verses 4 to 7, Jesus says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Luke 15 verse 10 again. Luke 15 verse 10. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When the angels see one person being drawn out of the domain of darkness, being brought into the kingdom of God's Son, they rejoice at God's outworking of his plan through the church on earth. What are the bad angels learning? These demonic spirits, they are learning that their leader, Satan, is a loser and that they are doomed together with him to eternal hell. That's what they're learning. Colossians 2:15. Colossians 2:15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You and I are so privileged. We have been drawn out of the domain of darkness, brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son, set apart unto him as a holy people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart unto God, a people who are true worshippers of the true and the living God, who live lives that are set apart unto God, lives of holiness, which is beautiful. And when that happens, we experience God's strength and God's power in our day-to-day living. Do you desire strength? Do you desire life that comes from God? Become a true worshiper. Let your life be consecrated, set apart unto God in true worship. Worship him in the beauty of holiness. And you will experience his power. You will experience his strength. According to Psalm 29 verse 9, after the angels watched the storm described in the psalm, they cried out, glory! Psalm 29 verse 9. And in his temple all cry glory. There is continuous worship, proclamation of God's glory in heaven as the angels watch and see God's wisdom, God's grace, God's power being manifested through his church on earth. And our lives on earth as his people, as his church, therefore must be focused on worship, which means bringing him glory. In and through all that we do, we must learn to live in his presence continually, worshiping him, bringing him glory. And as we seek his will and become part of the building process of his church, we give him glory, we glorify his name, and the angels glory, and the angels ascribe glory to him by crying out, glory. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?